Hey, y'all. Welcome to Co-Parenting Past Chaos, a podcast that gives you a raw and unfiltered insight on marriage, divorce, the crazy adventures of co-parenting, and so much more with your hosts, April and Lauren. Not only are we best friends, we are also the wife and former wife of the same man. Join us each week as we take you on a journey inside our wild and chaotic lives and show you how we were able to forge and maintain a positive co-parenting relationship while collectively parenting a lot of kids with a few husbands. We're definitely not professionals and we'll probably get you into more trouble than you bargained for, but what we do have is a sense of humor, street smarts, and a few decades of experience under our wife, mom, and divorcee belt. This ain't your mama's podcast. Welcome to episode 135 of Past Chaos. We're back.
We're back.
We took a couple of weeks off so we could,
I don't know.
Some sanity.
Well, we were busy.
We're still cold. I am even more certain now than I was when we talked about this a few weeks ago that I hate the cold and I want to move and retire somewhere where it is never cold.
I do agree with you. I hate the cold. It just makes me agitated.
I want constant sunshine and warmth.
I don't need sunshine, but warmth I need.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I can handle the rain.
Yeah. Rainy day is fine. We talked about a few weeks ago, I'm a heels girl and I like to dress cute. Like it just makes me feel good. You know, like I got somewhere to be and I've got somewhere I want to go. At the start of COVID, when the whole country was in quarantine, that just all changed. And now that I want to integrate back into society, I want to be cute again. But I've dressed in yoga pants and sweatshirts every day for so long that I don't even know what to do. But I'm one of those people that I think if you look cute, your mental stability will be a little better. You know?
I'm not one of those people.
No? Okay. Well, I just wanted to ask a question. Like, how do these people, these women especially, because that's what I am, how do they dress so cute when it's cold outside?
I don't know. That's always intrigued me. I'm pretty much a bundle up. I don't really care what I look like. I mean, I'm like that when it's warm out too. So I don't give a lot of effort into my
fashion. I just feel like I can be cuter when it's warmer. Every day I have this desire to get up and look real cute. And then I look at the temperature and I'm like, yeah, there's no point.
Nope.
Cold and cute just don't go hand in hand for me. So forget that. Papa Gator's in town.
That's right.
We just went to a soccer tournament this past weekend with Tanner, and it gave me an idea that I wanted to do a podcast about, which we've talked about it several times, doing a podcast about being a boy mom.
Mm.
But how to raise boys and turn them into men.
Yeah, it's really hard. They're very hard to keep alive.
I'm struggling. This teenage boy is not fun.
It's not. I mean, I'm going to have it times three, so yeah. I'm not looking forward to it.
No. All right. One of the worst holidays in the world is coming up.
Ugh.
Valentine's Day is next week.
Could this have hit at a more opportune time?
I just don't understand. This is never, and I'm not bashing anybody that loves Valentine's Day because you do you, boo. But it has never been one of my favorite holidays. I think the trauma began as a kid. Was it like this in your school that Valentine's Day?
Well, I was homeschooled, so no.
Oh, dadgum. That's right. Okay. Well, okay. When you got into high school, because you went to high school in public school, I can remember in elementary school on Valentine's Day, you could not see those poor women that worked in the front office because it was filled full of balloons and flowers and teddy bears and chocolates.
Ugh.
Parents would send their kids all these Valentine's Day gifts. And then there's other kids that, you know, their parents can't afford that stuff. And it's sad.
I mean, no, I never really experienced it. And to be honest, I have never celebrated Valentine's Day ever. I mean, I'm sure my mom like had some sort of homeschooly version of it when we were younger amongst our siblings. But when I was a teenager, I never celebrated Valentine's Day. I was always broken up with right before that or just...
Oh, that was strategic, honey.
Innately single.
They didn't want to buy you any flowers.
Exactly. So I just chose very early on. I was an anti-Valentiner, and that's how I've always been. I do not celebrate it. Don't mention it to me. I think it's kind of just a wasted holiday. I am fortunate. I have boys, and they don't really care about Valentine's Day much either. So, yeah. But you know me. I don't celebrate a lot of holidays.
Yeah, I know. And this is just one that I just can't get behind because I feel like it's pointless.
It is.
I do remember a smidge of a good time when you got to decorate your own box and everybody had to, you had to give everybody a Valentine. That was the rule
in
school.
That sounds awful.
And it was fun the night before to sit there and make out all your Valentines for Valentine's Day. And I would pick certain ones for like the cute boys
and then certain ones for my really good friends. And then the people that weren't very close to me, I would give those the ones that, you know,
yeah,
were like neutral.
I mean, I do it, I guess, with the boys if they want to, but 9 times out of 10, they don't. So I'm not wasting my time going and buying Hallmark or what is it, Walgreens Valentine's cards and sticking candy in them. Jagger does like it, but Jagger's more of a, he's my lover.
He loves to celebrate every holiday.
He does. So I let him do it. Jackson's obviously grown out of it. He's not into it at all.
Tanner was never a fan either.
Yeah. Yeah.
The girls were. They liked it, but yeah, Tanner was not a fan. All right. A few weeks ago on our last episode, we talked about fate. And this week, we're going to talk about dating disasters.
That's like all of my dating life.
It's been a minute since I've dated, but I love when we do these fun episodes. And what better way to bust a gut than to talk about some of, well, more importantly, your dating horror stories. Because I don't have very, I didn't get to date a lot. You'll have a lot to say on the topic. And I'm going to have to really dig deep in my vault because it's been a hot minute. Before we dive in, I wanted to ask you, do you remember your very first date?
I do.
Tell me, girl.
I was 16. My parents didn't let me date when I was younger. And then my summer before my junior year, I moved to my dad's, which then my dad didn't really care if I dated or not. And so I had accepted a date from a guy. His name was Chris. He was a gymnast.
Oh,
he was so sweet. We went to a pizza restaurant. I remember that. And then went to Baskin Robbins. And then we went back to my house and I think we made out a little bit. And I will tell you this part of the story, which I find hilarious because this is my first like real makeout session. Yes, I was a late bloomer, guys. I was 16, but he had held my hand on the date and I was like, oh, okay. And then we started like making out and I said, oh my gosh, your cell phone's in the way. And he was like, that is not my cell phone. And
I'm dead.
It took me a minute. But now in my head, every time I'm in that scenario, I always think of that.
Move your cell phone.
Move your cell phone. Bless his heart. He was such a sweet guy. I ended up going to his homecoming with him and dumping him at his homecoming.
Oh, no.
I know. I was such a horrible. Oh, man.
He didn't have the updated version of the cell phone or what?
I don't know what. I think he was just too nice. Look at that.
Guys, finish last. Don't you wish you would have stuck with old Chris?
Probably.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think he was going into like nuclear science or something. Like he was a very smart guy.
Chris is probably rich
now. He probably is. I've never been able to find him on Facebook. Chris, if you're out there.
He's smart. He doesn't do social media because he's too busy being rich. Oh. Well, I remember my first little date. My mom took me and the boy I liked to a movie when I was about 10 years old. We saw Ernest Scared Stupid in the theater.
Oh my God. I love that.
She dropped us off. We had our movie date and that was it. The next time I went on a date was after I gave birth to my first child.
Holy cow.
With my first husband.
That's hilarious to me.
Yeah. I had never been on a date with Jerry before we got married. Like never, like a real date. I'd never been on a date.
I mean, no, I mean, I did go on dates with both people I married before I married them.
Yeah, nope.
Not great dates, but they were dates.
Roy and I went on dates, but I didn't because, I mean, you and I were both married at a young age, so we probably didn't do a whole lot of dating. Maybe that's why I'm terrified at the thought of, God forbid I ever have to date again, and
yeah,
it's just not something that I want to do. But you were able to date a little throughout high school.
Mm-hmm.
And then probably more active in your 20s after
my late
20s.
Yeah, for sure.
What was that like?
Dating in high school or dating in my late 20s?
I mean, what was it like dating in high school? How does one get a date?
It was usually in friend groups is always how it worked.
But are you like, were you in a relationship with these people or you just
I just dated.
Okay.
I just dated. I mean, kind of similar to my late 20s. Okay. I just dated. I didn't go on a lot. I didn't get really serious with a lot of people. My late 20s, I was terrified to date because divorcing John, I had not been on a date with a man since, I mean, realistically speaking, before my first ex-husband, because I jumped from one husband to the next.
Mm-hmm.
So there hadn't been anything in my 20s. And here I am 28, 29 years old and 3 kids deep and divorced. And I was like, no one's going to want to date me. And the first 21-year-old that hit on me at a bar, I went on a date with him. And
where'd you go, Chuck E. Cheese?
To the Olive Garden.
Oh, Lord.
And I found out afterwards, like, he didn't think he had enough money to pay for the date. And here I was, like, ordering as if, like, I didn't know.
Oh,
I hadn't,
bless his
you know,
heart.
I hadn't been ever been in that scenario. It was really fun to just date different types of people and figure out what my type was again. I had been with the same man all my 20s, really. John, I met him at 21 years old. and then only had one husband or boyfriend before him. So I was like, who do I like? Who am I into? I just said yes to everybody. It didn't matter how tall, short, color, it didn't, nothing mattered. I was like, I'm just going to figure this out. And I think the big thing was when I started dating, I was worried that no one would want me because I was almost 30. I had 3 kids. I had a baby daddy. I really thought no one would find me attractive. And once I got out there on the dating scene, I realized I was the prime age for anybody.
Hell yeah, you are.
Like women in our 30s, that is the age that whether it's a young man, a man in their 30s, or an older man, we are like at that age where we're, you know who you are, you've established your life, and you're not looking to probably settle down and get married because you've already done that.
I did not obviously date in high school, but once Jerry and I divorced, I did have a little 3-year span where I dated. Of course, that was 20 years ago. But for about 2 or 3 years, I dated and I had a couple serious boyfriends in between. The thought of it was just so foreign to me. Luckily, we lived in a town full of Marines and it wasn't very hard to find a date.
True.
The problem was finding a good date.
I learned that good or bad, you learn something more about yourself than you do the person that you're interested in. And I know that may sound a little selfish, but I remember when I was single in my early 30s, I did it as an experiment. I said yes to every person that asked me on a date because I was so intrigued with learning what their dating style was. What was I going to learn about myself on this date? And some dates were insanely good. And I look back and I'm like, why didn't I go on a second date with that guy? Why didn't I give him a chance? But it was just putting myself out there in situations where, A, I probably could have died. So I'm so glad I'm not doing that anymore. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed just the entire experience of meeting another human being, whether that be a guy or a girl, to be quite frank, you're just meeting up with them and learning about each other.
I did that unknowingly in my early 20s, but that's just because I was so excited because I'd never been free and been able to date that I said yes to anybody.
Yeah.
I didn't care who you were, what you were, how you looked, what you did. I'm like, oh yeah, a date, that's great. I didn't even really understand the concept of dating.
Okay.
And it's so weird. And it's still weird to me to think about going out with this random stranger and letting them watch you shove food in your face, which was such a big fear of mine in my 20s. And now,
yeah,
if I ate ribs, which I don't, if I did, I'd probably gnaw down on the bones while I was in front of a guy. And I wouldn't even care at this point in my life. Back then, I never even ate on a date.
Oh, I did. In fact, I went to the same restaurant and I had 3 different dates at the same restaurant in a week. I'm sure the waitresses were like, well, this girl, well, she's just a regular now.
Probably. So tell me about an awful dating experience that you had.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I've had several unique and interesting ones. I will say I love my friends and my coworkers. I always have, but I am against people setting you up on dates. I think you should just find a date yourself.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to touch on this in a minute, but
I'm very against it because every time I've been set up on a date or introduced to someone or given somebody's number, like, oh, I have somebody that I think you'd be interested in, it's always flopped. And one of my first ones doing that was with a coworker. I hope she's listening. She'll laugh at this because we always do. But she set me up with one of her guy friends. And we had messaged back and forth for like maybe a week before I ended up going on this date. And I had agreed to the date after work. And right before I was supposed to get off work to go on this date, he messaged me and said, hey, meet me at this place. I want you to know I'm bringing a bunch of my friends.
On your date?
Oh, yeah. I looked at her and I said, I don't know if I'm okay with this. First of all, he had to strategically plan which restaurant because he had had a DUI recently and he didn't have a driver's license. So he had to walk from work to this restaurant. First red flag, guys. I don't know why I didn't back out then. So I look at my coworker and I say, you're going with me now. If I have to go on this and it's now a group effort, you will be going with me. So she goes with me. Sure enough, I pull up and we get into this restaurant and he is there with not only 2 of his best friends, but their wives and children. So we are in a restaurant with a table for like 12 people and he sits down next to me. It is the most awkward thing I have ever experienced in my entire life. He didn't say 2 words to me. He drank heavily. That's another red flag.
Oh,
if they order more than one drink, drank heavily, never spoke to me the entire time. I talked with his friends. I talked with my coworker and I left. And I remember him messaging me and he was like, yeah, I'm really sorry about that. Maybe it should have just been a one-on-one thing.
Do you think
we could do this again? And that was the first time I had been dating for a little while. And I finally learned to speak up for myself. And I said, no, I don't think this is going to work out. Thank you though. Thank you for the invite. But no, this isn't going to work out.
Like, and I never spoke to him. Not for your 30s. I don't feel like
100% no, but this is the second or third time that's happened to me. I had been on a date with a guy and it went really, really well. And he asked me out on a second date at his house. And so I went to his house and he had a barbecue full of his friends. Second time meeting this man. I mean, I don't know. I just think it makes it very awkward for the person stepping in. I'm brave by all means and I don't mind meeting people, but in that kind of setting and be introduced as like, this is Lauren. This is the girl I've only been on one date with. Here's all my friends. Sit and chat with them while I'm barbecuing. That's just awkward. I wasn't looking to make friends. I was looking to have a date.
Because if you're going to try to get to know someone, that's a one-on-one situation.
Yes.
And then if you feel like it's moving forward, then maybe you have the same group of friends.
Yeah. It would be a little different, but we didn't. And it was the most awkward thing. And then I felt really bad because I definitely ghosted him. And I'm sure his friends thought I was lovely and he really liked me. And I was so uncomfortable with that scenario that I was like, I can't talk to this man ever again. Yeah. And I never did. That's so bad.
I don't think I blame you. I really don't. I remember being very young, obviously, when I dated. When you're so young, newly divorced and a single mom, obviously, you think no one's going to want to date me. Not guys my age. I was in my early 20s. So no guy has two kids. Well, not many have two kids and are going to want to date me. I did find lots of guys that wanted to date me. And it was really fun because it made my self-esteem go through the roof. I felt so good about myself. So I meet this guy. He wants to take me on a date. We go to Chili's. Well, he brings a friend, which probably should have been my first red flag. But I was new into the dating scene, so I didn't really know. We get to talking, and he's getting ready to go. He's a Marine. He's getting ready to go on leave. So he's going to be flying back to wherever it was he was from. So we're talking about him getting on the plane, and I told him how I was nervous to fly. And he says, you know, I'll be fine as long as I don't get sat near any children. I'm like, oh, well, why don't you want to sit near children? Well, children on a plane, you know, they're loud. And actually, I just don't like children at all. And he goes off on this whole tangent about how he never wants kids and he can't stand kids and they're annoying. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay. So I'm like, I know this isn't going to go anywhere because this man doesn't like kids and I'm just going to go ahead. So I drop the bomb on this guy that I'm a mom. And he gets up to what I think is go to the bathroom. But he walks out and leaves me sitting. Not only did he leave me sitting, he didn't even pay his check. And he had ordered drinks.
Oh, my God.
And the waitress comes over and she brings the manager and she's like, you've got to pay for his check. And I'm like, I absolutely don't. And it was this whole big thing. But finally, obviously, they didn't make me pay for his check. But I was like, okay, maybe I'm just not into this whole dating scene. It's not for me.
It can definitely be rough. I mean, if you're a person that takes rejection hard, dating is hard. It's hard. It's going to be hard to put yourself out there. I personally love a good rejection because it's like the trash taking itself out.
Oh, gosh, I don't.
Oh, I do.
I don't like it.
I had a guy, you know which guy this is. He's someone that took my yoga class years ago. He kept trying to get me to go on a date with him. And the vibe was weird. Like, he wasn't someone that I would typically date. He was very immature, even though we were the same age. And anyways, I remember, you know, saying, I really don't want to, maybe another time. Well, then he would change the conversation. I remember one specific time he asked me, you know, do you want any more children? And I said, no. And I, at the time, used to lie and tell people I couldn't have more kids because it would just alleviate that whole entire thing. And I just said, I can't have any more. And he was like, oh, well, then I don't want to date you because if you're not going to change your mind, I want children. And I wanted to be like, first of all, I'm the one that said I didn't want to go on a date with you. But I did find that that was a deal breaker for a lot of men, especially when I was in my early 30s and late 20s, when I would date them and or go on dates and they would immediately say, I want to have children. I would say, no, I don't want to, or I can't have any more kids. And that was an instant deal breaker.
Really?
Very much.
That's interesting to me. Because I actually broke it off. Don't hear that.
I broke it off with a guy that I really, really liked. We really, really liked each other, but that was kind of both a deal breaker for us is, you know what? We can't go on any more dates. This is only like our third, but like, we can't do this anymore because you want kids and that's not something I will ever provide for you. And I love when men are like, well, can I change your mind? Or do you think, no. Like my body, and I'm telling you, no, there is no mind changing. I would consider marriage before I consider ever having a child again. Let's just put it that way.
Like, did they not see the trail of children that are following behind you?
Well, and, oh, creepy enough. I had a guy that wanted more kids because he had a daughter. And he said, well, you have three boys. I really want a boy. He was almost interested in me because he thought I could breed a boy for him. And I don't like that. I don't like looking like I'm breedable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not breedable.
I am not.
Not even a little
bit. I'm too old for that.
No. Like I said, I've had some crazy dating experiences and it's just not something that I would ever want to do again if given the choice. I would probably just stay home. But I had some really good dates. And you said you don't like people to set you up, but my best dates came from the ones that my friends set me up with.
Then you have better friends than the coworkers than I do. Because I, no thank you. I will did find that. My own.
Like the two serious relationships I was in, all were from my friends setting me up.
You did kind of set me up on one though. And I did go on a few dates with him.
And he's great.
He is great. And we're still friends to this day.
There you go. See, I'm not so bad.
So yeah.
Now, I wouldn't even know where to begin, though, because it's been over 20 years. But y'all know we like to do research on our topics that we're discussing each week. So we went to our favorite little bar to do a little recon just to get a feel of what's out there. Ladies, there's nothing out
there. There's nothing out there.
Stay married. Stay single. Stay in a friendship relationship. Do not do it. Okay? Because Operation Could I Find a Date If I Were Desperate Enough did not end well for me.
No,
it did not end well for any of us, quite frankly, that night. So it starts with two brunettes and a blonde walk into a bar. Since we were there to just educate ourselves and not actually find dates, I don't think we wanted to seem too available because we weren't.
I don't know how anybody ever talks to me. I look very unapproachable.
You do.
I know.
And when they do approach you, you're mean.
I am.
And I just sit there because I'm a people watcher. So I just wanted to people watch. And there was a nice band playing. Actually, a very good band.
Very.
One of the best bands that I've seen in this area in a long time.
I recommend.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very, very much. So listen to the band. People watched. A few guys approached throughout the evening. The later it got, and this is very true in every situation, the more persistent they become. It's like, okay, they're getting ready to turn into pumpkins. Let's hurry up and get them home.
I was just about to say that.
You know, yeah. You're not taking me home.
Hell no.
Just sit down and relax and have a drink. Okay. One guy in particular, I watched him. He was coming in for the kill. I'm like, oh, honey, please don't. Because first of all, I can already tell by looking at you, you are not old enough to ride this ride. It's just not going to happen. Okay. I do have a hard time being mean and being very direct and saying, like, get out of my face. Mm-hmm. But that's what you're for.
Yes.
So that's why you're sitting behind me. This guy, no matter how much I seemed uninterested, was not getting it.
The hilarity of this was he thought he actually stood a chance.
Oh, he thought we were getting married.
I don't know what mirror he purchased in his home, but it's much different than the mirrors that I'm seeing.
Bless his heart. I tried to let him know, like, I'm not interested. The ring on my finger, you know, it didn't say enough to him that I wasn't interested. But he spent so much time talking about he, himself, and him.
Huge red flag, guys.
I couldn't even get a word in if I wanted to. I appreciate somebody that loves themselves. I am big on self-confidence, but damn, he never stopped. Never. He talked about how much money he planned to make and exactly what he was going to do with it, how he was going to be a stockbroker back in Miami. He wanted, told me, I want a $5,400 home. That's what he said. And I just looked at him. I was like, really? That's it? And he's like, yeah, that's not enough. And I'm like, I mean, $5,400. Oh, yeah, yeah. I meant million.
Oh.
Okay. So you want a $5.4 million. Very specific. He wanted Cartier and a Porsche. And he talked about when he went back home, how he got bottle service. And he loved nice things. And in particular, he loved Ferraris and he loved diamonds. And he showed me this watch, which was the most god-awful, hideous watch I'd ever seen. Don't even know what brand it was. Didn't matter because it was hideous. But he showed me the picture of it and that's what he was going to get. He said his friends were big YouTube stars and he showed me pictures of them and told me about how much they like to party when they go back home. And then he's like, oh, you know what? I feel like I'm talking so much about myself. So let's talk about you. What's the most expensive car you've ever owned?
Oh, my God.
I'm like, okay.
Let me cut you off there, right there, young man. Let me just cut you off. Yeah, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. This is a waste of your breath.
I was invested, okay?
So why?
Because it was just funny at this point.
He is living in Jacksonville, North Carolina, working for the U.S. government, the United States Marine Corps.
He's a Marine.
Oh, God.
So I tell him, I'm like, okay, well, probably the nicest car I've ever had was a Land Rover. You know, like it was great. Oh, really? Okay, yeah, that's good and all, but you know. I've had better. So what's your favorite city? I said, in the world and where? Probably here.
The one where you're not in it. That's what I would have said.
I said, I'm not really sure. We got to have a favorite. I don't know. So we talk about Jacksonville and he wants to know why I live here. I said, it's because I'm married. Oh, okay. Well, where would you live if you didn't have to live here? Anywhere. Anywhere in the world I would live besides here. I said, but I'm staying here because, you know, this is where my kids are and this is where they want to be. He said, okay, well, what do you do? What do you do for a living? So instead of like getting into this whole big thing, I'm like, yeah. Oh, well, I have a podcast with my best friend. So then he wants to tell me how he loves podcasts. Do you know Joe Rogan? He says,
No.
Huge red flag.
Like, April.
Just because I'm a podcaster, I have to know Joe Rogan.
Oh,
okay?
God.
So he's like, oh, you know what? I think I'm going to be a YouTube CEO like my friends. I don't think that's just a job you go apply for, but, you know, what do I know? Then he asked, who would my dream guest be on our podcast? I said, you know, I don't really have a dream guest, but if I had to pick someone, it would just probably be someone in our niche, you know?
Yeah.
Somebody that is going to give something to our podcast that would benefit our listeners. Well, okay, but he wouldn't give up. He wanted to know who it would be. And I said, off the top of my head, probably a Kardashian. He said, well, which Kardashian? I said, any of them, quite frankly, because I think they could all offer something. Well, you have to pick one. And I said, okay, probably Courtney. Well, no, I don't think it should be Courtney. I think it should be Kim. Okay.
You've already engaged too far.
Then he goes on about Kim and he's like, you know what? Actually, it shouldn't be Kim. You know why? Because she's had too many failed relationships.
Oof.
Okay. So clearly you don't know me and you have no idea what my podcast is about. So I then turned away because I felt like that was an insult and he didn't know, but it really did insult me.
I
want to
know
me.
How much liquid courage these guys actually, like how much did it take them to get up some brass balls to walk up and think they can carry a conversation like that on? My time is precious. Do not waste my space, my energy, no. Or my time. I would have never even engaged. Honestly, I probably would have never made eye contact.
Well, but he wasn't leaving. I turned around. I was talking to you.
Yes.
And I turned back around. He's still there.
Uh-huh.
Picks up right where he left off.
Oh, God.
He
oh,
says,
God.
Then, my mom asked me why I'm single. And I'm thinking, dude,
I can tell you why.
I'll tell you why you're single. Okay. So he wants to buy me a drink. And I'm like, no, you know, I don't want one. He says, what can I do? I just want to change for you. Is there anything I can do so I can be better for you? And I look at him and I said, honey, I don't know you. And if anybody tells you that you need to change for them, you need to go away.
I love that you actually engage with
these
people.
I did because at this point I'm like, okay, let me be his mom for a minute because I need to teach him something.
Oh, no.
You just met me.
I know you need to teach him rejection.
Well, it happened.
That's what you need
okay,
to teach
it
him.
It happened. He just met me and he wants to change for me and all these things. And I'm like, you know, you've got to just, what I think you need to do is go work on yourself. You need to figure out what your passions are and then go from there. Oh. But your passion is not going to be me and I'm not going to be yours. We're not going to be a thing. So
yeah,
it didn't stop though.
Oh, I'm sure not. But you have to learn to like cut it off.
I finally did. The bouncer came over and picked me up and removed me from the situation because this guy was just not going
to. That's how it will always be. I mean, I have tried searching for the audacity that men seem to have found. I can't find it.
I just wouldn't be able to walk up. And good for him. You know, good for him. Maybe he had all the courage in the world to think that he was going to come over and we were going to go right off into the sunset and have a magical night together. And then he wasn't going to call me the next day. But I was not going to have that. Ever. So it wasn't a thing that we were going to do. That proved to me that dating has changed so much over the years.
It has.
Not a fan.
It has because it's so much more accessible now. And I think that well, I don't say we. I think a lot of the younger generation has lost their face-to-face skills.
Yes.
So unless they are meeting you via social media platforms or a dating app, it's very hard for them to learn how to organically just speak to another human being.
Absolutely. Because we started that. It used to be like ice cream after school.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. And then it went to online dating and dating apps and so on. Now, no one has to have any kind of intercommunication skills.
None whatsoever. None. It's sad. I mean, that's what I do enjoy about the organics of dating, like going on a date, just like forcing yourself to have face-to-face interactions with people. Again, it's dating is, you can date your friends. It's just a one-on-one with another person, whether that has long-term intentions or just short-term intentions just to meet people. But I think that we've lost that along the ways, and people get very courageous behind text messages and behind instant messengers and whatnot and DMs. And then they have no idea how to behave like a normal human being face to face.
No.
And a lot of times, guys, sorry to call you out, but you make an ass out of yourself, which turns me off to all of mankind. Let me just tell you, it makes me never want to look at another man or woman on a dating level. Like, it's just, ugh.
I don't know if I'm just old school, old fashioned. I mean, I'm not single, so I'm not out looking, but it would terrify me to get on a dating app and try to find someone to out with. I feel like that is, how do you even know that that's the person you're talking to?
I mean, I used to have a screening process, so we had to FaceTime prior, or like if we did start talking frequently, or if we exchanged phone numbers, I needed to FaceTime you to make sure you're a real human being, not a robot, not a catfish. Heather actually turned me onto that trick, which I think is smart, right?
Like, that is FaceTime very smart.
The person first.
Yes.
And you kind of know what you're getting yourself into. You have to kind of jump through different hoops now just to even get to the point of saying, okay, we're meeting at this and this time on this and this date. And as moms, as single moms, you know, I only date and I only ever have dated on the weeks I don't have my children. So that also presents a front, because then you're like juggling like your schedule and squeezing people in. And my time is precious. Like, if I'm going to take an hour out of my free day or free night to go have dinner with you, please don't let that be a waste of my time.
That's where, you know, I just don't like to waste time because it's so precious. And I don't like to take a chance, I guess. So if I were in a place that I was about to date, I would want to know that it was, I think I'd want to talk to the person prior to few times.
I think,
you know?
I like now, like, and this is how I kind of ended my like dating. I enjoy knowing someone already. It's almost like you knew them from another friend group, or you'd run into them before, or maybe it's someone from your past that you never got a chance to date. And so like you kind of always known them. I like that. That's kind of my scene of dating, like somebody that I've known or known of. That also makes it easier. I probably organically meeting someone fresh and a complete stranger is super rare.
Yeah, it is. And I just need to know that you're going to be able to carry on a good
intellectual conversation
with me, and not be Joe Rogan's biggest fan. No offense, but I don't have anything in common with you. And you're just pushing and pushing and pushing. Not happening.
Or dates where you just end up feeling like a therapist because all they do is talk about themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been on several of those.
Nah, just not for me. If you're married, ladies, stay married. Stay married. If you're single and dating, God help you, and you're in my prayers. I think I'd rather just go back. If I ever had to date again, I'd rather go back to like the arranged marriage. That is how much it is so scary and terrifying for me to even think about going on a date.
I guess I'm kind of like in the middle, right? Like, I like to have fun with it. I like to never take anything in life too seriously, especially knowing that for me, dating is never a long-term thing. I don't ever have the intention of like marrying someone. I am very much that red flag. I'm that fuckboy, as you would say. That's me. It's more just the casualness of it for me. And so in that, if you go into it with that mindset, then it's less terrifying. Because like, what do I have to lose? It's a free dinner. Or it's not if they make me pay.
I'm just going to live vicariously through you, through Heather, because I just, it's not for me, not for me. Okay, y'all, get in touch with us. We love to hear from our listeners. Send us topics that you'd like us to discuss. And if you want to learn more about us or hear all of our stories from the beginning of this chaos, check out our website, pastchaos.com. Also, you can now stream the full season of You, Me, and My Ex on Discovery Plus. So while we're on the topic of dating, one of our listeners wrote into us and wanted us to talk about something. And it made me think, this is perfect little segue into this, because we're already talking about dating.
Mm-hmm.
it's okay for men to date several women.
Yes.
To sleep with several women. Mm-hmm. But the minute a woman dates several men or sleeps with several men, you're a slut.
She's a slut.
What's up with that?
Oh, I hate that. I hate that so much, especially because I feel like the most control of my sexuality I've ever had has been while I've been single and dating. I decide who gets in my bed and I decide who I get in bed with. And I think that's something very freeing and empowering. I've also felt like when you're in a relationship, sometimes you don't always have control of your sexuality. You almost feel like you have to do it. So how are we being slut shamed when we are wanting to have sex as single women? Well, no different than men would. I mean, listen, men, if you hook up with a girl and her panties and bra are matching, you're not the one that decided you were having sex. She is.
That's right.
And she's in control. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. If you are a woman that has decided, I want to have casual sex, or I want to have a one night stand, or I want to have a roster, you know, for example, of different men that I sleep with, and you are healthy about it, you're smart about it, you are, and you feel safe. There is nothing about that to me that is being a slut. In fact, I think that that's being responsible versus men who go out there and just, you know, bang a bunch of train, as they say, the douche boys out there. No, that's not being responsible about it. You're being immature. But I think when a woman makes a decision to have a casual sex life, I think it's empowering.
It is. And I am more of the conservative person when it comes to sex. I don't give my sex away very often, or I didn't when I was single. But I don't think that there should be a bias against women that do. My granny, I will never forget growing up hearing this saying, why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free? If you're from the South, you've heard it. I don't necessarily agree with that because I think sex is a very important part of a relationship and of a marriage. If you're not going to have sex with a person before you get married, and that's great if you don't, but if you're not, how do you know that that part of your relationship is going to be fulfilling and it's going to be exciting? Then you're going to get married and have this amazing marriage, but you have horrible sex, and you've been in relationships with horrible sex.
Yep.
They don't fare well.
No, they don't. And also, if you're a woman who's maybe decided that you don't want marriage and you don't want a relationship, then what? You're just supposed to never get to have sex because you don't want to be in a relationship?
No, I think anything, if you're, have all the sex you want, be safe about it.
Yeah.
But have all the sex. I don't think it should be, oh, you know what? You're a woman. You're not allowed to have sex because you're a slut. But if you're a man, here's a high five. You've just banged three women in one night. Way to go, bro. That's gross to me.
That is gross.
It's a double standard.
Thank you. I was just about to say that.
But here's another thing. If you don't want to be slut shamed, just stay married. Married people don't have sex.
That's all the time we have for tonight. Thanks so much for listening and hanging out with us. If you'd like to find out more about the Kirks and our big blended family, visit our website at pastchaos.com.
Make sure you don't miss out on any of this train wreck and chaos by hitting the subscribe button. If you really want to get personal, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Be sure to tune in every Sunday when we release new episodes. We would really appreciate it if you would subscribe to and review our podcast.
And just so y'all know, we love Jesus, but we cuss a little.